Happy Monday night. Today is April 17th, 2023. This is Across the Pitch. We have a fun episode tonight, as always. But, of course, I am Mike Barrera. I am joined by Dave Miller and Jose Nunez. Jose, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Good start of the week. Unfortunately, the result was what it was for our Union. But, ultimately, just happy to be here, man.
Absolutely. And, Dave, how are you doing tonight? I know you're watching the Sixers game like Jose and I are.
Hell yeah. I mean, obviously, not a great half, but hopefully the Sixers, you know, can kick on in the second, you know, try and take control. But yeah, doing all right. I mean, looking forward to talk some Union. It's been a busy week.
It's been a busy day for Philadelphia sports. Dave, what jersey are you wearing over there?
I've got a Jordan Matthews jersey.
Wow. Not what I was expecting, but hey, listen, we'll roll.
I was going to say, proof on a bandwagon fan, eh? That's
true. That Well, Jalen Hurts got a crazy big extension today, so congratulations to him. I'm rocking the old school Iverson 2001 jersey. Jose, how about you? Are you rocking anything underneath that hoodie?
So the running joke in my family is that for the longest time, I would just not be into dogs, right? I never owned a dog, never did anything with a dog. And suddenly my wife, we are more or less gifted a purebred golden retriever. And this dog has been like my third child. It's been my life. So people that know me, when they found out that I got this dog and that I absolutely love it, started just gifting me these shirts with like dog sayings and stuff like that because they know how bizarre it is that suddenly I'm like, you know, flip a switch. I love this friggin' thing. So just dog t-shirts, man. I'm ready to go to bed after this. I'm so tired.
Listen, I mean, dog t-shirts, whatever gets a job done, man. Whatever gets us through the show. Yeah, Jose, I'm not a dog person myself. I like dogs. I just like giving them back to their owners when they're done. As you guys see, my cat makes an appearance from time to time, so I am much more of a cat guy. But the Union have had a couple of matches. We had the CCL match against Atlas, and then we had a interesting match against the Fire. So, Jose, I'll shoot to you first. Your thoughts on the second leg of the CCL?
I say interesting so much during a podcast every single week, but this was genuinely one of the most interesting matches that I think I've ever watched of the Union. Falling back, coming back, falling back, and then coming back again, right? Yeah. Is that how the game went, right?
They came back twice, yeah.
It was unbelievable. I have not seen this fight from the Philadelphia Union all year. Granted, we're I guess at this point a quarter through the MLS season.
Gotcha.
Oh
there.
My gosh. Yeah, Eric's good. It was fun. And as I mentioned on Twitter, maybe I'm just, you know, kind of sad reading one of my own tweets, but like, was it pretty? Absolutely not. Was it fun? Absolutely. Was it worth staying up till midnight? Yes, it sure was, because we are now into the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League within reach. Granted, a tall task ahead against the LAFC, but within reach. And you know, it boggled my mind when I thought about this. We could be going up against the Real Madrids of the world, the Manchester Cities of the world, in the Club World Cup if we are somehow able to get this cup. To me, that's twice, because the winner of the CONCACAF Champions League qualifies for this year and next year's, because they're redoing the way that the teams are selected. So because if we win this year, we technically qualify for 2 years of Club World Cup competition, which is crazy to think that, you know, in my house, I could be cheering both for Kevin De Bruyne and stinking Olivier Mbiso or Andre Blake, right, in the same game. That is a sentence that I never thought I would say out loud. But, just a late night but a fun game.
Absolutely. Dave, did you watch it live or did you watch the recording of it?
I did watch it live, but just to piggyback off Jose's point, I mean, the Union could be playing Man City twice in back-to-back years, obviously, with the new Champions League format. It's like 40 teams going into it. So, I mean, the Union could draw Man City, because I have no idea how it's going to work. But, I mean, you know, the Union could play anyone. They could play Bayern Munich, you know, Borussia Dortmund, Barcelona, Real Madrid, play anyone. It'd be absolutely crazy. But, yeah, I did watch it live. I watched, I basically sort of had the game live on YouTube, which is how I can watch it in the UK, in my pocket, whilst I was at work. It was like at like 3 a.m., doing my work, had the game on, walking around the shop floor with the game on my phone, and, you know, it was all worth it in the end. I mean, obviously, And VAR has obviously been a hot topic for us this year, but I mean, without VAR, let's just say some interesting decision making from the linesman.
Twice.
Did you guys see that the Atlas fan trying to argue that it was, but the line that he had was like crooked?
It wasn't even crooked, yeah. Mike. It was just a flat line on an image that was slanted.
That's what it was. Yeah.
It made no sense.
No, it was a fun night. So I went to Zed's in Marlton. The Zed's,
you sure did.
They did. I had a good time. I had a couple beers with my buddy Dan, who's also on Twitter. So it was nice to meet you, Dan. And they usually close around 10 o'clock or so during the weekdays, I think. But they set up the whole match. It was a nice little small, about 10 of us inside the Zed's brewery. Some great beers, a good crowd. I had a good time. And like I said, I got home late. I didn't even care because it was such an exciting time. But, you know, to win and to draw and to come back twice, I think, Dave, you might remember this from 2 years ago, how many times I said every time the Union had their backs in the corner, they always found a way out, right? We said that a little bit last year, too. It was the same exact mentality. It was the same thing that we've seen from this team before in the past. They found themselves in a corner, and they found their way out. But the way they put themselves in the corner wasn't exactly the prettiest of things either, but it is what it is. But regardless, I mean, Jose, I know you and I are going to be there on next Wednesday. What are your hopes against LAFC?
I always like
my thoughts.
I always like the saying, you know, win at home, tie away. That's how you get championships, right? That's the way to get it done.
Yeah.
Especially when we talk about the Chicago game. But this LAFC team, man, oh, it's gonna be tough. It's going to be a big uphill battle, and to say I'm nervous is probably understating how I really feel, right? This gigantic pit in my stomach. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have a blast. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with the rest of the guys.
In 140. Yeah.
We're going to be in 140 having fun, having a blast. Yeah. If you're listening or watching or listening to this in a couple of weeks or whatever, actually before next Wednesday, come and say hello. Mike and I are as friendly as they get. But when it comes to the result, I fully expect that we go to LA trailing at least by two goals, as unfortunate as that sounds. And I swear to you both, I hope I'm wrong. I absolutely hope I'm wrong. But
I can't get
the stickers. I can't help but to feel like we're going to be trailing behind, right? That's going to be such a tough game, even at home.
Well, Dave, you and I had joked on Twitter, on the message board. It was like, you know, to think they only give up one goal is generous, right? I mean, you had mentioned the thought that LA probably scores two against us, which would be catastrophic unless we win 5-2. So, I mean, are you kind of in the same ballpark as Jose and I, a bit of worrisome with Wednesday, that next Wednesday?
I'd say yeah, because, I mean, with respect to Atlas, I guess, you know, they're in a different league. They don't really get to see the Union players often.
Yeah.
They probably aren't – the Union really aren't the focus. They probably – again, they've only played, that was the second time they've ever played that last. So again, it might have come to a bit of an advantage for them. And again, the back half in the first leg completely killed the game for them. And, you know, the Union got away with it. It got away with it, luckily, again. And as we've seen throughout the season, they struggled to break down 10 men, and they got lucky in breaking down 10 men at the fact the goalkeeper had a massive brain fart and decided to actually twat Carranza inside the box.
My God.
Yeah, and of course.
I forgot about that.
And again, you see, like, the second leg, the game was always going to be stretched, was always going to be open, and that's the way that the Union do excel, is when the game stretched, because Atlas had to chase the game, and that worked in the Union's favour. And we saw the Union back to their better selves last year. Okay, perhaps a couple of maybe soft goals, a bit, you know, open space around the penalty area, but I mean, they played so well in Atlas. And again, to then flip it to the first hour against Chicago, and you think, you know, especially the first hour. I mean, don't know what happened after the penalty. Must have given them life, but it's just such a concern how you can go from up here, well, obviously, like, so high, to then just so low in Chicago, where you don't even have a shot on target, didn't even have a sniff for an hour, and they look second best against a team that has struggled in MLS play for years now. They really look second best, and a quick spurt in 5 minutes. Got them away with a point, but it easily could have been 3 or 4 nil down before that point.
I want to bring up I'm going to bring up a couple. Oh, go ahead there. Finish up.
Sorry. I was going to say, if they play like they did against Chicago in midweek, and AFC are killers, we've seen it in the season. They score goals for fun, they're unbeaten, and they won't hold back. They won't, you know, they won't let opportunities go begging, you know, like Chicago have done this year, like other teams have done against the Union. They will go for the kill. And as soon as they smell blood, you know, it won't be 1-0, or, you know, 2-0 after an hour. It'll be 3-0 at halftime, and they're going to have to be wary for that.
Agreed. I'm going to put up a couple comments from Eric. So he says he's worried about the defense and UWA, but the big question is if this is a series that finally gets a team to truly focus. Revenge can be a big motivator, which is a great point. Example, NYFC went 0-3 against the Union last year after the COVID ECF, which is great. I mean, yeah, if there was ever a game where this team does not need any motivation to get up for, it's LAFC, right? That is the ultimate motivation to be that close, to be 4 minutes from an MLS Cup and have it ripped away from you by Bale, of all people, should certainly motivate this team. But Dave, to your point about the two games, Chicago and the Atlas match, I'm gonna start with Atlas first. They did play much better, and the goals were something that I was actually found to be promising for what we hoped this team would be, especially like, let's say for the second goal with Leon kind of finding Uwa or Gazdag rather, and then finding Carranza. It was just something that we were expecting to see so often last year, and it just hasn't happened. Just that quick turnaround and you get a goal. But the lineup that we had against Chicago was just so exhausted. Like, they were visibly tired from Wednesday, which goes to your point. How can they go from playing that well on Wednesday to that poorly on Saturday? But at the same time, that has to go to Jim and his decision to put that same exact lineup basically on the field. I mean, Jose, what were your thoughts when you saw that lineup on Saturday? Jose?
I'm here. Sorry.
All right, I thought I lost you. Okay, go ahead. I said, what are your thoughts on that lineup between Wednesday and Saturday?
We continue to, you know, ring the bell or whatever, shout from the rooftops about the different players that we want to see. We continue to hear the reasoning behind why players like Perea and Torres are not playing as much. People don't even bother asking about Bueno anymore, though the birthday boy did go in for what, like
5 minutes?
10 minutes? 5 minutes, okay. It's hard for me to believe that a 35-year-old Alejandro Bedoya can motor the way he did 10 years ago today, because I think that's what Jim is more or less expecting from him, playing him every single week. And sure, I will never question his leadership. I will never question what he has done to help players come along. The Aronson brothers, the McKenzies, the trustees of the world that have come and gone through our program, both from the youth level to the men's team to now abroad in Europe doing their thing. We'll never question that Alejandro Bedoya had something to do with that in teaching them how to be proper professionals. But to expect him to go out and continue to run nonstop for all of these games is kind of crazy to me. Never mind, you know, and I know we've mentioned in the chat and we've mentioned it before on our show, fail to adapt this roster and going the extra mile, I would say, as a team to keep 92% of the minutes, right? Like, it's crazy to me that we went for this depth and we were just, you know, expecting that was going to solve everything, and, you know, not changing tactics, not changing anything was going to be okay, or get us good enough to be as good as last year. And I totally get that last year was probably, in all honesty, a bit of an anomaly, right? To be scoring that many goals. And how many games over five goals did we have? Like four or five last year? Like
four or five, yeah.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. That's Premier League stuff, right? The top four Premier League stuff, bullying, bottom three type of thing. That doesn't happen in the MLS, especially with the artificial parity of you know, roster sizes and budgets, etc. So I don't know. We can continue to play this fiddle, beat this dead horse, but, you know, the rotation is not as heavy as I expected, to be completely honest. And players that typically motor look tired. Like,
well, can I add to that too, Jose? The fact
go ahead.
Kai Wagner comes back in the CCO. We know he's nursing a hamstring injury. He does not play. He plays for 45 minutes. He gets hurt. He gets beat on that second goal.
Badly,
which he does not do. No. And he gets taken out for Nathan Harriel. So
Nathan Harriel plays in Chicago.
We're getting there.
Don't loses worry. Track of that damn runner.
We're getting there. I'm getting there. So then you have Kai Wagner nursing a hamstring injury again. Damian Lowe still hasn't played since he's been hurt. And now Leon Flock has to get his hip injected.
Yeah.
For something that happened in practice right before they played on the Chicago. So you've had Blake, Kai, Damian, and Leon all get hurt within the past 2 months. It's just a matter of when is Bedoya going to get hurt. To Eric's point, he mentioned a comment. You know, he's been such an integral part of this team since 2018, but it's like he's just not the same player he was a few months ago. Granted, I put out that tweet of him in the 60th minute, how important he was in the 60th minute to kind of force two turnovers and to kind of cross into Daniel. So does he still have his moments? Of course he does. It's not about Ali's ability anymore. It's just simply his body not being a robot and him needing a break. Jose, to your point as well, Jonathan Tannenwald mentioned as well in the press conference, Joaquin Torres has not played in, what, four matches?
Someone had mentioned five, and frankly, I was just frantically typing and getting ready for Jim's answer, but someone mentioned four or five games, so it's been a minute.
And Perea hasn't played in three. Now, I like the lineup they put in Mexico. I was fine with it. I thought it played well. Like Dave mentioned, I thought it was a good lineup. But then to use that same exact lineup again in Chicago after such an emotional outing it's poor management when thinking about these players' longevity for the season. And the Matt Real situation with Nathan Harriel. So we looked at that goal that Chicago scored. Nathan Harriel just completely loses track of his man on the left-hand side. And we all questioned why Matt Real didn't get the start. So, Dave, what were your thoughts when you saw Nathan on the left compared to Matt Real?
I think, obviously, just quickly go back to Eric's point about Bedoya. Yeah, I mean,
sure.
You have to think, remember last year, I think, was it the bad hip injury?
Oh, my God, yeah. And he played the final, right, of the conference?
Yeah, and he essentially, yeah, catch him out the title game and everything, the MS Cup final. And obviously, he'd been struggling with that. So, it's interesting to see. But interesting, you probably have to imagine that is something that has possibly carried over, or he's not fully recovered from it. And this is no disrespect to Ali, but I mean, he's what's it called? Well, he's 35, 36. Your body having played for, I imagine he's played at the top level for 18 years now. Your body doesn't recover like it did even 10 years ago, when you're 25, or even like 5 years ago.
Yep. So
clearly, he's still not 100% there. In terms, I mean, again, he looks tired. He looks more tired in games. You can sort of see he looks a bit more legged and a bit rugged. But I mean, go back to Nate Harriel. I wasn't really that concerned seeing him start at left back. I mean, especially after the first leg against Atlas, where I personally thought he was probably one of the union's best players on the night. The way that he, you know, the way he defended, the way he got forward and attacked, and was actually an outlet on the left hand side and caused some problems. So I wasn't that concerned, but. Yeah, it was poor defending for the second goal, the first goal, sorry, where he, you know, lost track of his man. He just let the guy sort of run off him and score. The second goal, can't do anything about that. I mean, it's just wrong place, wrong time, really, isn't it? But yeah, again, I didn't really have an issue with Nate playing. I just had one of those nights where I'm a bit sure. But
yeah, I just at this point. Yes, I agree with you. Nathan played well and against Atlas at home, but Matt Real has played a little bit better. We've talked about how he's looked better on the left hand side, and you wonder why he doesn't get the start there. Just for familiarity, right? Nathan doesn't ever play on the left. He's played on the left now twice. Why not just give Matt Real a chance? Which ended what they ended up doing later on in the game anyway. They took Olivier Mbaizo out, who also was dealing with an injury coming out of Atlas, and then they put Matt Real back on the left. So. I don't know. I know Jim has alluded to, and Jose, you and I have agreed that we're not entirely believers in this, that maybe Perea still has some improving to do. Torres, we're not really sure on. But I mean, how badly are they performing in practice that you can't even give them a chance in a game against the Chicago Fire when Shakiri's not even playing because he was coming off an injury himself?
Sorry to cut to that point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did Jim actually want to sign any of these players? Did Jim actually want these players?
That's a great question, considering how little he's used them. And when he has used Andres Perea, he has been great. Man of the match, right? We continue to say that. Man of the match for both of the CCL matches that he played in. One as a substitute, right? Like, I don't know. I'm starting to think that there's more to it. I hate to speculate, but is he injured? Has he just not come out and said it? I don't know. It's fascinating that, you know, I still adjusting to defensive whatever, which was Jim's line the one day, one evening after the match, was kind of a really, like, is that really it? I'm not sure I'm buying it, but whatever. I don't know. We'll see. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine. Listen, I think we're all a bit puzzled by it by now. But one player that we're not really puzzled by is Quinn Sullivan. The kid has looked everything as we expected so far in the season. I talked to you guys about him in the Cincinnati match. I thought he played great against Cincinnati. And then he gets subbed onto the match right after the PK from Daniel and immediately makes an impact on the field. He does a good job controlling the ball on the left-hand side. His cross to Daniel was perfection. And then obviously it gets finished off by Julian, which I know, Jose, I'm sure you're happy about. So Quinn Sullivan, I mean, do you start – is this him coming into his role now as Corey Burke, Jose?
A little shorter than Corey.
A little bit.
But what was really interesting and also not surprising was just the heaps of praise that Jim bestowed upon Quinn, right? At the press conference, he was very, very quick to – share about how happy he is with Quinn. Obviously, today's performance, or I should say the Chicago Knights performance, he was really the spark that had the team going. His substitution changed the game. Maybe this is his turning point, right? Maybe this is where he becomes the number three striker when Ua has to, which we had a 90th minute Ua appearance. Crazy. Unbelievable. But when the inevitable Toronto FC game this weekend, when Ua has to come off at the 60th, 70th minute, is it Donovan or is it Sullivan? I think it's Sullivan
you're
now.
You're assuming that Ua starts on Saturday.
I am very much assuming that Ua starts, though considering how much we paid and pay him, I would expect him to play.
I feel like he's going to – well, considering this is the first time we have, like, a legitimate break in the play for a while. We have a whole week off before we play Toronto. You know that Jim's going to play his stars for at least 45 to 50 minutes just so that way they're not completely rusty, I guess, rusty coming into that Wednesday evening match because that's just what he typically does. So I expect Ua to play. Now, whether he comes on as a sub in the 60th minute or whether he gets sub in the 60th minute, that's another story. But – you have to have them fresh for that Wednesday game. You just can't go into that match tired like you saw against Chicago. But again, the Chicago game, it was – is there – what's the silver lining, Dave, of that Wednesday match? What's something that you can look back – on Saturday match, rather. What's something looking back on in the Fire match? Say, okay, this is what we can take from it. For me, it was Quinn Sullivan. And for me, it was the comeback. What did you take out of that match?
Yeah, I think for me personally, it was more the comeback than anything. But yeah, there was again, I think it was. But the other thing I probably took out of it was just how bad they were for the first hour, and just so lethargic and just so poor in the way that, you know, just the way they played. And going to this point, I think Jim will start in the KL because they have to. Whether you don't want to be, you know. You know, you don't want to be paying a player that much money that when he's just sat on the bench not contributing. And just to Wes's point, obviously, the way the Union got so lucky with injuries last year was probably unheard of. And it's sounds like criticizing Jim Curtin's game management here, but or team management. But I mean, that's what happens when you play people for 50 games a year consistently and you give them no breaks. Players break down, their bodies break down. Listen, Kai Wagner, again, he got lucky with injuries last year. I think only missed games due to suspension. But I mean, but this one, you play 40 games, non-stop rest for the entire season after season. You are going to get injured at some point. Something is going to break down. Same for Adi Bedoya. I mean, he's played constantly, you know, since he's ever been with the Union. And even at this older age, where perhaps you'd hope that, especially with the travelling, I think it's easier in England for an older player to play because, sure, you know, you're not having to deal with the long travels of, you know, plane rides, especially, you know, going to different climates, different time zones, you know, different altitudes and things like that. The heat, the humidity, it's not as big of a factor in England. Again, it's no surprise really that Ali Bedoya's body broke down last year in the way that it did, and he's struggling to recover, and he's still playing week in and week out. And
well,
sorry to go off topic quickly, I just went down the rabbit hole of players that we didn't want to sign. Matheus Dava at Bahia last year, who played in the second division of Brazil, he was a key part in getting them promoted back into the Brazilian Serie A. And he's now playing for Cruzeiro in Brazil, who obviously one of the top teams in Brazil. So, I mean, obviously, there was a player in there that there was obviously
we missed.
And he never got the opportunity. It was clearly someone that Jim didn't like. And it's clearly there were players that Orovic, again, another player that Jim never likes. But I don't know what he's doing nowadays. But again, just another player that Jim wasn't a big fan of at the time.
But see, Dave, the only counter to that would be, yes, I agree. You know, maybe Davo and Orvik can thrive somewhere else, but we didn't see them at all. We're seeing Pereira play. And even Torres in his brief stints has had some positive activity. So let's say, hypothetically speaking, that this is an issue that's Jim and his opinion on Pereira, right? The field, the product on the field doesn't justify this long of a stretch of benching. Yeah. It just simply does. And I want to bring up a couple comments because here we have a couple first-time commenters here. So thank you, everybody, for joining the show. So Wes brings up the point. The team played late into the year last year. What are the chances the offseason fitness regimen was light? Players showed up out of shape and now have half the squad as they have had injuries, which is a fair point. If you don't have the same training regimen, if your offseason is shorter, you might not have the same body you would typically on a shorter offseason. And then Kimberly joins in as well, mentioning Sullivan, you know, wishing Uwa would stop flopping around looking for a foul, which is fair. I feel like he does occasionally hit the ground much quicker. And Quinn just has a different fight to him. I love watching Quinn play. And Eric, again, more comments here. You know, the two games, first 60 and the last 30, played like they had a pair at the end, which is true. I honestly, Eric, thought this game was over 2-0. After Chicho missed that third scoring chance, I said, okay, it's just going to happen eventually. It's going to go 3-0, and it wasn't. More comments here from Eric. Don't worry, Jim has been saving subs for matches for years. I'm sure we can go into the bank and use a few 2015. I love that. And then a couple here from Kimberly here. In England, you can have a viable tier system for older players to continue to play without completely destroying their bodies, which, again, is also a great point. So, this is a hot topic issue for us Union fans because we want to see a better product. We see these new formation and these subs making impacts. It's just not happening the way we want to. Even the game on Saturday, right? You bring on the substitutions. It's 2-2. In the last few minutes, I get Bueno comes in, but why not go for the win there and bring Prey in? I don't know. It's frustrating to me, and I hope it's not something more than just as Jose, you mentioned, his defensive progress. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we always go back to the or some food for thought. You know, I always go back to the whole win at home, tie away and sneak away from, you know, away games with a win here and there. But with the way that we've started a quarter through the season, I don't think people are realizing that we are a quarter through the MLF season at this point. There's no, like, if things are not jiving right now, that's okay, I guess, for some, but it could be us seeing what maybe things look like halfway, three quarters of the way. And before we know it, it's too late to course correct. And sure, are all the eggs in the basket of the CCL right now? I would hope so.
Yeah.
I think we, all three of us, would hope so, considering how easy it is to make the playoffs this year with the new format and the fact that maybe it's actually 100% the American mindset. You just got to get hot at the end, and that's all that matters, especially when you're playing a tournament style playoff. So, man, this Chicago game was so perplexing and so confusing to me because you're right. why not go for it? But then I took a step back or scooted back in my chair and I thought, eh, Jim's probably just thinking about the Champions League at this point, despite having a Toronto game between games, right? Like, I'm really curious to see what we put out there. And you made me start thinking about this. What product do we put out this Saturday? And I think I mentioned it last week. This is going to be a sacrifice game, right? This is totally going to be a setup match.
I mean, okay. Well, yeah. Dave, what's your lineup for Saturday? Because I feel like if there's ever a game that Perea could start, it should be this game. If you're going to make the CCL your priority, right? And you're showing me that against Atlas, Andres Perea doesn't see any time against a tougher opponent, then you're telling me that he's probably not qualified then to play against LA. Under that mindset, they're just a better opponent than Atlas is. So, what's your starting lineup day for this Saturday? And do you finally see him starting on the right on the left side?
You'd like to see him start, but I think the biggest issue is with this team as well. Like, there's no width. There's no one that can actually get you from point A to point B. That on the counter attack, everything's got to be slow build up, or you're just lumping it long to two strikers.
Yeah,
and as we keep saying, like, teams are ultra. Playing a different way against Union now. They're not going balls to the wall, pushing men forwards and, you know, leaving the Union gaps, which we saw against Atlas, which was obviously they had to go for it. So they were leaving gaps in behind, which again allowed Leon to make the pass to Bukeluar and, you know, Laudouar to get in behind and things such as that. That space isn't there now. Teams have sussed up how the Union play. Right. And the Union, you need a plan B, whether it's where you play with some width and play with wingers, which I've been calling out for about 3 years now. If it's not working with the diamond, if playing so narrow and relying upon your fullbacks as your creative outlet isn't working, get someone out wide who can take you to point A from point A to point B. And obviously, I feel like, again, we were excited for Joaquin Torres to come in, but I still don't think he's that player, you know, that can a quick fire, rapid player that can literally take you up the field when you need it. And again, I can't see Jim differing away from Diamond. Probably the Diamond, because, I mean, as I sort of said, it's going to be a throwaway game. You're probably going to, you only want to really risk, well, leave out one centre back if you're not, you know, if you wanted to make sure that Jack Elliott's fit, because, I mean, Jacob Glesner's will start the game for his MLS appearance streak.
Right.
But again, obviously, you don't have the defenders to be able to play a back five, because then if you do go with a back five or a back three, you have to play all three fullbacks that you've got fit available to you. And if you lose one of those fullbacks, you're screwed, because then you're down to your bare bones in that position. Again, you're starting to get a bit thin in the centre midfield, which you lose Leon Flack. And so, yeah, I can only see it being the Diamond.
And then say what you will about Leon. Right now, his best attribute is that he's available for us. Considering Damian Lowe, we don't know exactly what he is. Kai Wagner, you don't want to push him too hard to the point where he re-aggravates or makes it worse for his hamstring. So already you have two people on your back line defensively who are basically out for the count. I know Kimberly mentioned she wants Quinn Sullivan. He should be starting. I think he should start on Saturday for sure. I think he's earned that, especially against a team like Toronto. So if you look at their last five games, they drew against, let's see, they did 2-2 against Atlanta, 0-0 against Nashville, 2-2 against Charlotte, and they drew against San Jose 0-0. So last time they've won a game was against Miami at home on March 18th. And listen, Miami right now, we had been praising them pretty highly to start the season. And they have had their issues since. So it's not like that 2-0 victory against Miami at home is not this big, like, oh my God, they beat Miami. So to me, I think you can put a lineup together that can get the job done. Dave, I think we should be seeing Brandon Craig at this point in the back line. If you want to do five in the back and, you know, three in the back, put Brandon Craig either with Elliot or with Glesnes, or mix him in between Elliot and Glesnes. Because again, if you're going to save Damian Lowe for the CCL, which I think you probably could or should, then why not use Craig here? I mean, he had a nice PK for the Union too, right? He's obviously feeling himself, so why not give it a shot? I'm going to read a couple comments too before Jose, I shoot it to you on that, on those thoughts. Eric, a throwaway draw I can take. They can't afford more losses. I can't believe I'm pinning pining for the days of 2022 where they were just winless instead of constant losses like this year, which is very true. And then Eric says, people keep telling me just get into the playoffs. The team needs home field advantage as much as possible. They are not road warriors, which is also a great point. And they really weren't road warriors last year, the year before either. Jose, I mean, your thoughts on what may be the lineup for Saturday. Put it together for us, a starting 11 for Saturday.
I'd like, okay, so Glassens is certainly going to start. As Dave mentioned, his streak continues. I would love to see Damian Lowe in there, since I think Jim would probably favor Elliott to be, you know, the starter against LAFC.
Agreed.
Matt Real on one of the sides, Nate Harriel on the other, I would think, despite Harriel's, my gosh, if I was to do that with any coach, that the way that he fell asleep in that play, I probably would not be seeing playing time for a game or two. You know, like, I would not be surprised if he plays, but, you know, and other teams, I think maybe that's not wait, are the under 20s gone for next week?
Oh crap, I forgot about that. I don't know
if it was only for the final, wasn't it?
I thought it was for the final, too.
Okay, for the final. I would think that Jack McGlynn plays this weekend. I would love to see.
Do you think he plays against LA?
I don't think he starts against LA. I think that's where Flock heals this weekend. And
no,
then,
you cannot. Okay, go ahead.
We're talking about the same manager who threw Kai after aggravating his injury against Atlas FC on the road.
Yeah, but Kai is, even 80% Kai is more valuable than 100% Leon.
Listen, we're also talking about the manager who's not putting Andres Perea, a guy who did two man of the match performances in the CCL.
Continue. So, I apologize. Go ahead.
No, I also think that Jack is young enough that he can play this many games, right? Yeah. Again, to Dave's point, Bedoya is much older than Jack McGlynn by a good bit, so I think Jack's okay to go and run 60-70 minutes if he has to, right?
Yeah.
I would really like to see Martinez rest. I just don't know who goes in there. I think he looked tired this past weekend. I would love to see him rest. I think this is very much a Sullivan game too, so I guess Donovan gets a run out there too. I don't know if Carranza plays. I'm not giving you, I'm at a loss here. I don't know. You know, we talk about depth so much and how much depth this team had, and it's hard to predict, especially when we don't see a Brendan Craig ever get in. Never mind a Raffanello and some of these other names that we just have on the roster for fun.
I think the Cincinnati match should give you an idea of what they might do against Toronto. And what I mean by that is the fact that you basically started a lineup to press and to contain them for 45 minutes, and then you brought in your big guns in the 60th minute, which really didn't do much at all. So you're going to see Bedoya come in on the 60th minute. You're going to see Daniel come in, get their minutes there. For me, the lineup is probably Nathan. I would love to see Brendan Craig. It's not going to be. It's probably going to be Elliott or Damian, Glesnes, and Matt Real. I agree with you, Jose. I think Brujo needs a rest. I know he almost had that groin injury. I think it was against Cincinnati. I don't want to risk him going before LA. I think he should rest, and you have Bueno start at the 6.
Ooh.
Yes, why not? He should start at the 6.
No, I love it.
Yeah, he should.
I think it's great.
I think you should start at the 6. Now, the issue I have is whether you switch Andre Perea to the right or you put him on the left and you put McGlynn on the right. Because we have done that before, where Nathan will play higher and Jack will play more so out of the back, facilitating out of the back. I wouldn't mind that, just like trying to see how it goes. For the center, you're going to have Torres at the 10, and then you'll probably have Quinn and Donovan at the strikers. But then again, goes back to my argument that I made last week. Why can't we see Pierre for one match? Why can't we see Raffanello?
Riasco.
And why can't we even have Riasco? Yeah, sure. That's a good joke, Dave. I like that. why can't we have Quinn up top and then have Torres and Raffanello, or Quinn and Torres together and put Donovan up top? Just something to mix it up a little bit. But Dave, I mean, to your point about Riasco, I mean, I don't think we're going to see him anytime soon. He's probably going to play with you two moving forwards. But your thoughts on the lineup that I put together there?
It probably would be the team that I could see probably starting, I think. I know a lot of people are perhaps on Mikel Oz back at the moment. Again, probably deserved. He hasn't exactly lit the world on fire this year, apart from the Montreal game. Just to add, the Union are the only team still to have conceded a goal against Montreal this season.
It's embarrassing.
Quarter way for a season. But yeah, I feel like as a striker, as a manager, you do want to see your strikers getting on the score sheet. It's great. Obviously, Carranza scored 3 goals this past week. So again, that's great to see one of your key strikers, you know, getting involved with the goals. If I was Jim, I'd start Mikel on Saturday. Again, you want to see a better play. You want to see a player that you forked up money and getting the goals builders' confidence. You know, he's had a couple of goal involvements in the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I think the big thing as well for me is, I mean, looking not just ahead to the AFC, but just in general with the play of the team, is that people need to start playing with their heads up. They need to start looking at the field when they're running with the ball. Like, I saw it a few times on Saturday. Like, that's what I was talking about. Come out, like, again, you do see it a lot with these other players. Like, Torres does it quite often where he won't look up and try and, you know, spread the ball. Like, when Union do have overloads and they've got 3-on-2s, I think they had one that really stuck out to me was on
the Carranza one you're talking about.
The Carranza, where he literally ran with his head down and he had Gazdag over 3 to his left. Ua was in through and goal on his right. He just ran and ran and ran until he got tackled. And I think this team, again, it's, again, Jim will say it's a lack of confidence, but it's just the basics of football. Gazdag does it so consistently where he's running towards his right. He doesn't get his head up and he turns back around and passes backwards. And again, I think Torres has done it a few times. Torres will try and beat a player and really should be distributed out wide. But I'm hoping, again, I think you have to start Ua. I think, he's Ua and Sullivan up front. It might be the popular option. Well, probably would be, because you don't have to start Chris Donovan. But I would go Ua. You want to get your strikers confidence. You want to get goals and you want them to actually get ticking and find some momentum and, you know, get into a rhythm.
Well, then wouldn't the argument be to start Carranza too? Because Carranza scored 3 goals in the last 2 games. Wouldn't you want him to stay hot?
Well, I mean, I guess Carranza's in that form and you don't. Carranza's in that form, so I guess you won't. Do you know what I mean? I can't see Carranza starting him purely because, again, he's scoring goals, he's been involved, whereas Mikel Oz's been a bit more cold, he's not contributing as much.
Yeah.
So, again, you want to try and get him involved. And, again, and I guess the absolute murder. Oh, the absolute mayhem, you know, social media will be online if Jim starts Carranza and he gets injured on Saturday night will be chaos. I mean, would probably sit Carranza and only use him if the Union do need to go, which would probably be likely the way they're playing at home at the moment.
Well, Eric's point is, you know, Ua is scoring. And as we said earlier in the season, before the season started, we thought Ua was going to have the breakout year this season, but he hasn't. And according to Eric's point, he's the one who should be taking that step forward this year, and he's not.
The Gazdag growth. The Gazdag effect.
Yes, he should have had that. I do think Ua has been extremely close to having some of these goals. He almost had 2 goals against Atlas in Mexico, if I remember correctly. He had that one that was just barely taken off the line from him by the defender. So I don't want to say that Ua isn't at least knocking on the door, but it's certainly not enough bursting through the door as we expected from him. But I, Dave, I know I get what you're saying with the strikers and how they should start. But if you risk injury, it will certainly bite you against LA. So with that said, go ahead, Jose.
Do you think that Jim, if he's not asking, let's call it the more senior players, the Martinez's of the world, or even the Bedoya's of the world, do you think he even asks him? Does he even ask him to come to the stadium? Like, does he ask him to dress? Like, I don't even know if I would include him in the 18 for the day. Just give him time off. You know what I mean? Like, going out there and jogging around for a little bit pregame, and I can guarantee you that Alejandro Bedoya is not doing the postgame suicide sprints that some of the players do if they're not featured in the match. Dave, you know fully what I'm talking about with those suicide sprints that they do after the matches. So I can't imagine Alejandro Bedoya is out there doing those at this age. So why even, you know, just take a weekend off. Like, just if you're going to give rest, just give rest. And Mike, I see you thinking, I see the brain moving there of like, well, should bring the guys in at the 60th, 70th minute, just like Cincinnati. Especially if it's 0-0, go for it. I get that. But again, if we're putting all the eggs on that LAFC basket, it's the rest game right now.
I agree with you. I don't want to see them at all. I don't want to see Gosdog. And I mean, I kind of want to see Carranza for a bit just to keep him in that form. But again, for me, an injury right now is the last thing you need. It's as simple as that. And you know Toronto, who hasn't won a game in nearly a month, is going to be chomping at the bit to steal one in Super Park, a place that we used to think was a fortress, and then now is not so much.
Made out of toothpicks now.
As you said, made out of toothpicks. So, go ahead.
So it comes to this point, I mean,
yeah.
Why would you think that Ali will be doing the warm down after the game? He'll be in... Yeah, he'll be sitting there in the locker room recovering after playing the full 90 minutes and getting ready to. Maybe sat in Jim's office preparing the game plan for the.
I don't know how he does it, guys. I don't know how Bedoya does it. It's very impressive that he can go out there and play as many minutes as he is. But again, we just don't want to see him. This is not a knock on his ability. This is simply
no. It's not.
Him to make it to October, and it's only April. 17th right now. So. Anyway, guys, we're running about 45 minutes of the show. I know typically we do a score prediction and game prediction for Saturday, which I feel like is harder this week than it has been recently. Although, Jose, to our credit, right, if you guys follow us each week, especially on Twitter and TikTok, you know that we do a weekly Bet the Boys in Blue show where we kind of make some predictions. We've hit 6 of the 8 weeks. One of us has hit on something in 6 of the 8 weeks. So tip our hat off to you guys for contributing each week to our bets. So, Jose, I'm going to go to you first. Score prediction, goal scoring prediction for Saturday against Toronto.
I think that, honestly, after seeing what the let's just call it Union 2 did against Cincinnati and keeping them at bay for as long as they did, and it took some weird – it took a really, really weird penalty kick call and disaster refereeing that came about for Cincinnati to win off of. I can see us actually sneaking a 1-0 win, especially against a Toronto team that's having a rough season. And I think this is the game, guys. I think this is Quinn Sullivan.
Yes. No.
Quinn Sullivan scores his goal. He's going to start. He's going to score. Everybody's going to cheer. Everybody's going to be happy. He's going to do it at home. Mom and dad will probably be there. Little brother watching as well. Mm-hmm. So I think a 1-0 Union win against are they Italian-less right now? Are all three of theirs injured? I have to look that up, but I know that they've had an atrocious record of injuries with their superstars right now.
Fair enough. And Jose, to your point, last week you said Gosdog was going to score on a PK, which he did. The biggest concern I have for me is that Daniel has not scored an open play in quite some time. So these PKs are nice. They're great. But this is the only way he's scoring goals. I have a bigger concern with that. Dave, same question. What's your score prediction and goal scoring prediction for Saturday night?
Obviously, look at Toronto's record this year. Clearly the draw specialists of the MLS. Yes.
They're the Nashville of 2021.
Yeah. well, they love a draw, clearly. So draw, I won't need to do any goal score predictions because I can see this ending 0-0.
Whoa, 0-0 draw at home against Toronto's whatever lineup they have in our makeshift lineup. Jose, you stole my goal score prediction. I do think Quinn Sullivan's going to score. I think he's been playing very well lately. And I do think extended minutes will get him that goal. The issue I have is who is around him to score that goal. That is a problem I have, whether they have the team and buildup available to get him the ball into the net. But I do think Quinn Sullivan scores. I'm going to put that as well. I struggle to think this team has a shutout. I don't know why. I just do. They have not convinced me that they can keep anyone out of the net, especially in the first half. We've seen everybody score in the first half against except Cincinnati, right? We've played eight games this year. I think every single team has scored against us in the first half, except Cincinnati.
I'm trying to wrap my head around that thought, but I think you're right. That is not good.
I'm going to say that again. In the 8 weeks we played, every team has scored in the first half against us except Cincinnati. That is scary to say out loud. If I'm missing one team, I apologize to them. But
Sporting Kansas City ties 0-0.
That's what it was. So 6 of the 8 weeks, to Kansas City. So that makes me feel like no matter who Toronto puts out, they're going to find a way to score within the first 20 minutes, which then is going to make us having to chase the game. So I agree with you, Dave. I do think it's a draw. I think it's a 1-1 draw, though. So I'm going to go 1-1 draw at home. Quinn Sullivan does get the goal. It's going to have to be a come-from-behind win because that's how their Union are playing. And I think that's that. And hopefully we're all proven wrong, and it's a 3-0 victory, and we can kind of go to bed that night feeling better. Eric throws a comment in here real quick. I'm going to read it to you guys. No worries from Posadelphians. That's right. That's how we are. And Toronto plays 11 in the back and wins 1-0. just going to park the bus, which actually, you know what, might not be the worst idea for them to do. So that is across the pitch tonight. I know I have to read the sponsors, Jose. I just remembered. So give me 1 second here. Let me pull up our sponsors, and then we'll sign off with our final thoughts. We have check out Statement Games at statementgames.com for a fun new way to fantasy sports entertainment. You can win gift cards and prizes. It's free to sign up at statementgames.com. Doane Distillery at the Trolley Barn Public Market in Quakertown. Go to doanedistillery.com to check out their new wide variety of spirits and drinks. You have Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant in Allentown, PA. Discover a new favorite by trying their pizzas and so much more. Check out their website at vinnyspizzarestaurant.com. You have Stuffed the Grills, 6750 Iroquois Trail, number 5 in Allentown. They are also at stuffthegrills.com. You have homemade hot and cold sandwiches, salads, appetizers, baked goods available for any event. And, of course, across the pitch, gear and all AAT Sports Network gear at the aatsportsnetwork.com/shop. That is across the pitch tonight, gentlemen. Jose, final thoughts before we sign off.
I should be at the park on Saturday, trying to figure that out. So I should be there. Come and say hi. Section 140 is always loud and proud. We'll see what happens. Eager to talk with both of you on Monday as we prepare for Wednesday. That's going to be a big decider of how the rest of the year goes, I think, unfortunately.
I do too. Dave, final thoughts?
Again, I think it's just going to be interested to see how this game goes on Saturday. I think, again, not just the lineup, but the way that they perform, because I think that there is a point to prove. I think the way that they have been so toothless at Subaru Park this year has been frustrating, to say the least. I think, again, they need to show it's interesting. I'm hoping that they can show something, you know, maybe a couple of goals, being more aggressive. Because, I mean, I remember being Mike sitting here 2 years ago moaning on the podcast, being like, people just need to take risks. We're getting these positions, but people aren't shooting. They're not having a go. They're getting great positions, but people aren't taking these risks. Now we're even getting the positions that we were in 2 years ago. It's now the team. People need to start to step up and to really take things by a stranglehold to become a hero. Players like Torres and Pereira. This is the opportunity to try and grab the game by the stranglehold. Obviously, if they are to start, you know, scoring the winning goal, getting a couple of assists or something, trying to, you know, potentially force Jim Curtin's hand. I'm hoping that this Saturday could be, you know, perhaps a catalyst or a spark that can, you know, kickstart the season.
I agree. I'm going to be optimistic. You know, we've played a lot of soccer lately. There's been dealing with injuries, a lot of travel. As we saw in 2021, the CCL does have an effect on the MLS season. We saw against with Seattle last year. They go out and win the whole damn thing, but they can't even make the playoffs, or I think they barely missed it. So it certainly has an effect. So I'm trying to be optimistic in that regard. I'm also trying to look at the recent games we played in. At home against Atlas, I thought we played better. Away at Atlas, I thought we played better. I thought that final 30 minutes against Chicago, you at least had some life and fight to you. So I'm taking that for some silver line that I can possibly get and hope that this is just a positive step in the right direction here. So that is across the pitch, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for the new commenters and viewers. Until then, we will be back next Monday. Hopefully after a Toronto win or a draw, a win against Toronto, and then prep the Wednesday evening match. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for commenting, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. This is awesome. So thankful.
Loved it.
Make sure you're back next week. Obviously, hopefully we can be a bit more bright as opposed to, you know, frustrated.
Yes. After, we're not always as doom and gloom, right?
Yeah. I feel like we've been venting a lot lately. And but then, you know what? Listen, when they win like crazy, there's also nothing to talk about either. So it's kind of a good conversation.
Success and glory makes you, you know, makes you snobs. So
have a good night, everybody.